We are introducing a study of what the Bible says about heaven and about hell. But in order to do so, we are establishing the biblical fact that men, mankind, men and women, say it how you will, that you and I will live beyond this mortal, temporary existence in this physical body of dust and of clay. Tonight, without any exposition of the condition of these souls or these individuals that we look at, we're just going to take a look at some people who the Bible tells us live beyond the death of their physical body. Whether they're in heaven, whether they're in hell, whether they're in paradise, that's not our concern tonight. We just want to establish the fact from the Bible that people die and then their existence continues. Annihilation is a myth. It's a lie. The cessation of the soul is a myth. It's a lie. You are going to be absent from this body, and you might be present with the Lord, or you might wake up in hell, but the death of your physical body, the death of your mortal body, will not be the end of you. That's clearly set forth in the Bible in a number of places. Let's read this introductory verse, and then we'll pray and turn to some others. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 36 says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die." Quickened, that's to be made alive. So the Lord says, that which thou sowest is not quickened, is not made alive, except it die. Obviously, there is life beyond death. Verse 36 For 37, "And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it his body as it hath pleased him, and every seed his own body." Now, look at the cross reference in John 12. John chapter number 12. And Jesus Christ is speaking. John chapter 12. And verse 23, "Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So the principle of nature that is appealed to by God the Son in John chapter 12 and God the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that you die, and out of that death, God brings or God produces life. So obviously we have hope of more than just this temporal existence in this mortal body. Let's pray. Father, please give us good understanding of the Bible tonight. Help us, Lord, to appreciate, to enjoy the hope that you've given us as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And Deuteronomy. Luke chapter 9. And Deuteronomy chapter 34. Luke 9, Deuteronomy 34. Let's read first of all from the Deuteronomy passage and verse number 5. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. No man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Number of things worth noting in this passage. First of all, Moses is called the servant of the Lord, and yet he died. He didn't die because he was living a rebellious life. He didn't die because he was a wicked man. He didn't die because he wasn't serving God. He was a servant of the Lord, and yet he died. Notice also, he didn't die because he wasn't fit. He didn't die because of some ailment or another. The Bible says his natural force at 120 was as great as it had ever been. His eyesight at 120 was as great as it had ever been. That's pretty incredible. That's a miracle. It really is. All the fellow ate was bread twice a day. God gave him quail. God gave him manna. God gave him water. 38 years without veggies. And he's strong as he was when he left Egypt. Come on, boys and girls. Anyway, listen, you know why he was as strong as he was? God blessed him. You know why he was in the condition he was in? God blessed him. And yet, he died. He died. God took the breath out of his nostrils, and that was it. That was the end of him. His service was done. His race was run. His course was finished, and he died. Also notice in the passage that God buried him. Now, you've got to be pretty important to have God conduct your funeral and have God for your undertaker. But the reason he did that, you know good and well, if the children of Israel had any idea where Moses' bones were buried, they'd have made a shrine or a holy place out of it, and they'd have made pilgrimages out there like the Mohammedans do or the NASCAR fans do, and they'd have gone to visit the bones of their departed prophet. And so the Lord said, no, we're not having any of that. I'm going to bring him up here in one of these mountains, and I'm not letting anybody else come up here, and he's going to die, and I'm going to bury him. Okay, so Moses, it's very clear, both those passages, Moses died. He wasn't raptured. He wasn't caught up. Chariot didn't come to get him. He died. Lord buried him. All right, look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter number 9. And verse 28. Luke 9:28. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he, that's Jesus in the context, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, we're not going to dwell on the passage tonight. We're not going to get all the implications of the passage. We just want to see from the Word of God that a man who died and was buried centuries before the events recorded in Luke chapter 9 appears alive and well on the mountain of transfiguration with Elijah and with Jesus. Obviously, death was not the end of Moses. Obviously, burial was not the end of Moses. There is life beyond the departure of the soul from the physical body. That's clear from the Bible. All right, Luke chapter 16. Let's take a look there. Luke chapter number 16. This passage is familiar to those that know their Bible and spend time with the Word of God. Let's take a look at it. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, and now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. All right, so let's just stop there. We're not going to talk about hell tonight. We're not going to talk about Abraham's bosom tonight. We're going to talk about the fact that we have three people in this passage engaging in conversation, having sensory feelings, having emotions, having thoughts and recollections, having desires, having discussions, after all three of them died as touching the flesh. Abraham died in the mid-chapters of Genesis, somewhere along chapter 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there. Abraham dies and is buried. And yet, over 1,000 years later, Abraham is alive and having conversation with the rich man. Obviously, when Abraham's soul departed his body and his body was laid in the dust of the ground, that was not the end of Abraham. I also see in this passage that Lazarus, and please take careful note in case you are tempted to buy into any of this unbiblical, liberal preaching and teaching. Lazarus was a believer in the Lord. He died in faith and was carried by angels. That's pretty good escort, isn't it? Now, God didn't bury him, but angels showed up for his funeral and took him out and carried him to Abraham's bosom. And that man never did escape poverty till he died. He was homeless till he died. He was living in dirty clothes till he died. He was sharing meals with dogs eating out of waste cans till he died. But he died and went to heaven. This idea that you're poor because you're not right with God, this idea that if you get right with God, God will make you rich, that's satanic nonsense. And you can only teach that in America or England, maybe France, some parts of Europe. You can only teach that foolishness where people have a lot of money. Nobody in India is going to buy into that. Nobody in Mongolia is buying that for a minute. You don't see any prosperity preachers in Sudan, Zaire, or Panama. Say, why? Because some things work in America because of our economic system that don't work in other parts of the world. And if they don't work everywhere in the world, they're not true. Lazarus was a poor beggar. His faith in God didn't get him out of that. But death got him out of it. Once he died, he wasn't poor anymore. Once he died, he wasn't hungry anymore. Once he died, he wasn't dog food anymore. And guess what? He's still alive. There is a Lazarus after Lazarus dies. This body, listen, you're inside this body. When this body gives out, you still live on. Then there's that rich man. Shall come, his name's not in the Bible. Because the Lord says if you die without faith in Jesus Christ, He'll blot your name out of the book of life. And you'll stand before Him in the day of judgment and He'll say, I never knew you. You know why this rich man's name's not in the Bible? God doesn't remember it. God doesn't even know who he was. And he can't check the records because he's blotted this man's name out of the records. He's just a rich man. But you know what? He's feeling pain. You know what? He's thirsty. You know what? He's carrying on conversation. He recognizes people. He remembers the past. He's aware that he's got brothers living topside that need to know the Lord. How in the world you read Luke 16 and say, number one, there's no hell. Number two, there's annihilation after death. Number three, we just die like dogs because we're just evolutionary byproducts. The only way you can do that is to deny the truth of the Word of God. According to this Bible, this guy, he's alive. He's just as alive down there as he was up here. He just doesn't have a body of flesh. That's Bible. All right, turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The last bad day Lazarus ever had was the day he died. The last good day that rich man ever had was the day he died. If all you've got plays out the day you die, you need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus, your Savior. All right, now look at this. In Ephesians 2, what a hollow promise this is if there is no life beyond the grave. The Bible says in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now watch, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now how can my life end with the death of my physical body, if in the next age, in the age after that, and the age after that, Jesus Christ is going to use me to show the rest of His creation how gracious He is? I can't be annihilated. I'm on display. I can't be over and done with. I'm being used by God as an object lesson. People get up there in glory, 100,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, and this little, it's not murmuring, it's not out and out rebellion, it's just, people have been walking gold streets for so long they've kind of gotten used to them. They've been living inside jasper walls for so long they don't appreciate it anymore. And so the Lord says, hey, y'all forgotten how marvelous my grace really is? Have y'all forgotten how amazing my mercy really is? Hey, Knox, come here. Look who's here. And they all start praising Him again. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Another 10,000 years, they're shouting her out. He must be mighty good if I'm there. Now, that's what He said in chapter 2, verse 7. He not only saved you, He not only saved me, but He's going to put you on display in the ages to come so that people won't forget the extent and the reach of His grace. That's pretty good, isn't it? Look at chapter 1. Now obviously, you've got to be existing in the ages to come, or He couldn't make that kind of promise. Chapter 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure, His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's future age, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be future in that age, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So, whatever's going on out there in eternity, whatever's going on out there in the fullness of time, I am going to be a part of it. If you are saved, you are going to be a part of it. Your life can't end when your body dies, or these things aren't true. Now, take a look at Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Revelation chapter 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's look at the Corinthian passage first. These are believers. Most people would agree that a believer has life beyond the grave. The Bible says in verse number... verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay, simply put, how are you going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ after you die if you don't live on after you die? How are you going to receive a reward after you die if you don't live on after you die? How are you going to suffer loss, yet you yourself be saved after you die, if you don't live after you die? The whole notion of every one of us shall give account of himself to God, the whole notion of reward at the judgment seat, is folly if death is the end. Plainly it's not. Plainly we have people who, after having departed their physical body, are standing alive at the judgment seat of Christ, receiving reward. Now, on the other side, how about those that are lost? Revelation 20. Again, we're not getting details tonight. We're just establishing the fact. Revelation chapter 20. And let's start at verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived. Now look, their bodies died. In fact, their bodies died when they were decapitated. And yet, they are alive. What's the Bible say? Remember what we saw this morning. And yet, their souls lived. The body's dead. And the soul, it's not that soul's not up there carrying a soul head and its soul arm. As Jesus said, remember a week ago, fear not them that can destroy the body and afterward can do nothing. So here are people who obviously had their bodies destroyed and yet it accomplished nothing other than sending them up into the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There are living souls on the other side of death. Death, even death by decapitation, did not mean the end of their existence. It simply meant the end of that soul living and dwelling inside that body. Now, let's read on. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, what's his prison? It's a bottomless pit. So he wasn't annihilated, was he? And he wasn't burned up. And the fires didn't consume him. He was thrown in there alive, and 1,000 years later he comes out alive. You say, well, he doesn't have a body. They put a chain on him. Well, his spirit. You start making one thing spiritual and not literal, you're going to have to make something else spiritual, not literal. And then you're going to have to make a third thing spiritual, not literal. I'll tell you what's spiritual in the Bible, not literal. Whatever the Bible specifically says is spiritual, not literal. If the Bible doesn't say this is spiritual, not literal, it's literal. I got a literal devil bound with a literal chain by literal angels cast in a literal pit. He's there for a literal 1,000 years. And at the end of that literal 1,000 years, he comes out. Takes up where he left off. Verse 8, shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You say, well, Brother James, if we could just bring peace on earth and goodwill to man. You've had peace on earth and goodwill to man for 1,000 years. And if you don't get regenerated in your heart of hearts, get born again by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're no good. And as soon as you meet the devil, you'll go his way. Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know what that means? If you're not in Christ, you're the same old creature. After your rehab, after your treatment, after your counseling, after your pills, after your baptism, after your church membership, after 1,000 years of peace on earth or 1,000 years burning in hell, you're the same person. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. That's why we're not going to waste 5 minutes trying to clean up the earth or straighten out society or get bad people to be good. You can be good for 1,000 years and the devil to deceive you the minute he gets a hold of you. You got to get born again. That's the only thing going to change you. Getting born again. I've been listening to two men for the last month promise to do everything Jesus Christ said he'd do when he got back. I'm going to stop the war. I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to establish righteous nations all over the earth. I'm going to take care of all your physical problems. I'm going to make sure all of you got enough money. I'm going to make sure nobody's ever sad again. Just stop with all that. Just somebody get in front of the camera and say, here's what we can't do. And here's why we can't do it. Stop whining. Vote for me. I stand awaiting nomination. Any time you... I'm ready whenever you are. Amen. All right. Now verse number 8 says, he goes out to deceive the nations, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That was quick end of that world war. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, he's a man, and the false prophet, he's a man, are. And look, they got thrown in that lake of fire 1,000 years previous, Revelation 19. And when the devil is cast in the lake of fire, he isn't cast in where the beast and false prophet were. He's cast in where the beast and the false prophet are. Obviously, whether you are godly or ungodly, whether you are regenerated or have only been born of Adam, you have life beyond this physical body. That's pretty clear in the Bible. All right, verse number 10. The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, false prophet are, and shall be. Now just get the word. And shall be. His existence, their existence, is not terminated when they hit the lake of fire. There is a shall be that extends beyond entrance into the lake of fire. They shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's eternal existence. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So here are people who have been long time dead as touching their mortal bodies, and yet there they are, and they're standing before God. You know who's standing there? Well, let's just take a trip back through time. You know who's standing there? People died during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You know who's standing there? People who died during the Great Tribulation. You know who's standing there? People who died today. You know who's standing there? People who died in World War II. You know who's standing there? People who died 1,000 years ago. You know who's standing there? Cain. Cain's standing there. 7,000 years burning in hell, and there he stands. You know who's standing there? Those people drowned in that flood, wouldn't get in that ark. 6,000 years of burning in hell, and there they stand. You know who's standing there? That crowd that tried to break Lot's door down. They're standing right there. They've been burning in hell 5,500 years, and there they stand. Goliath is there. His four brothers are there. Jezebel's there. They're standing right there. Hey, you need to win people to Jesus Christ. They're not just going to die and 3 days later there's nothing left but flowers on the grave and a clipping of an obituary. You're going to live on beyond this body. That's what the Bible says. Saved or lost, you're going to live on. It's so clear. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was opened, it's the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, so it wouldn't help to be buried at sea. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. Nobody's clear on exactly what that's all about. And they, that's people that have been dead for a long time, were judged, every man, they're still who they were when they died. According to their personal works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, that's people, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Now one thing's clear from the Bible. This body was made to house your soul while you lived on this earth. Your soul was made by God to dwell forever. And it will dwell forever in heaven with the Lord, or it will dwell forever in the lake of fire with Satan and the beast and the false prophet, depending on what you do with Jesus Christ. I don't know any way around that other than just say the Bible's not true. The Bible's true, you've got an eternal soul. And so do your kinfolk, so do your neighbors. And so do your job mates. And it won't matter what color your hair was. It won't matter how much money you made. It won't matter what you drove. It won't matter if you had your nails done. It won't matter if you were a rich man or Lazarus. Won't matter if you're high class or low class or black or white or yellow or brown or red or blue. The only thing that'll matter is if you put your faith and trust in God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. I'll keep bringing this up. This world wants you constantly focused on the body. Your body, other people's bodies, things for the body, gizmos for the body. And this Bible wants you focused on souls. Souls. Look in James. We'll tie in this morning's lesson with tonight's lesson. Book of James, chapter 1. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness. You know, in those When those guys were meeting at Hampton Court, working out this translation, can't you just picture the guy that came up with superfluity of naughtiness? Don't you know he had one of those big ruffle shirts and the big feather in the hat and the big quill pen with a huge feather on it? And he said, fellas, I believe the correct rendering here is superfluity of naughtiness. Yeah, okay, Joe, whatever you say. Just. He had about 30 other renderings. This is the only one they let him get away with. And he says, receive meekness. Now watch. Receive meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your, what? Souls. Which is able to save your souls. God's concerned with the soul. Fear not them kill the body. Africa can do nothing. Fear him rather can destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay? So, there is life beyond the grave. Moses proves it. Lazarus proves it. The rich man of Luke 16 proves it. The promises made to the born-again believers prove it. The existence of those that were martyred in the tribulation time proves it. The existence of men and women at the white throne judgment proves it. You're eternal. You're going to live forever. That's great. You're saved, that's great. If you're not saved, what a fearful thing. What a dreadful thing. So the Bible says, here's the engrafted word. Receive it. Let God graft His word, put His word in your heart so that your soul can be saved. Your body won't make it, but your soul can.
So I might live till the rapture.
Your body's still not going to make it. Lord said, you're going to have to change before you come in here. I'm not letting that thing in here. Lord, never mind. Just not good enough. We'll change our vile body. So either way, we're going to get out of this. And hope you're saved.